I want you to compare what you're doing or what you've heard other people doing to what Lori just described, because what most people are doing is, like I said, they have a certain subset of ads that are more direct ask ads that are generic to almost any seller in any situation. Hey, need to sell your house in Richmond. We can buy a house. Click here, full cash. Okay, that's cool. But every other real estate investor that's running Facebook ads in your market is doing the exact same thing. So if you can drill down to their situation, like she's doing, she's driving them to pages, landing page for foreclosure, landing page for, you know, comparing it to a real estate agent, things like that, situational types of targeting. Once she knows their situation and their motivation or their pain, then, like she said, then she can put them into another bucket in Facebook and deliver them up ads specifically to their situations. Hey guys and gals, Trevor coming at you from Roseburg, Oregon with another episode of the Carrot Cast. And I've got an amazing guest yet again. I've been following Lori on Facebook for a while. I can't remember how long, but before I hit record in this, we were talking that she's been with Carrot for about a year. So it's probably about that long, or maybe the past 6 to 8 months, because I kept on seeing her posting stuff in Facebook groups and the success she's having. And it's one of those things that it's really cool when people latch on and execute. They latch on and execute what you teach, or they go learn things from elsewhere and they execute and they get results. And it's really cool seeing, you mentioned Caleb's name right before this, really seeing you and Caleb make a lot of comments in different Facebook groups. Jeff, I think his last name is Falali. He's going to be on this shortly. The three of you and a whole slew of others, I keep on seeing amazing things. So I'm like, I need to reach out to Lori. Would love to get her on the Carrot Cast. Break down her story before, you know, we'll go all the way back to what she was doing before this. We'll figure out what's working right now for her business and then what she kind of sees ahead. So Lori Patterson, welcome on the Carrot Cast.
Thank you.
For sure. So, you know, the gig, this is something I love. I love how people work. I love breaking down, the way that people's brains work, the way that they got here. You talked about a mindset, thing that you see pop up with some people right before we hit record here, where you'll tell people exactly what to do down to the detail with the Facebook ad and they won't go do it. So you definitely have a different mindset, and those who crack through and have success have different mindsets. So I like pulling that apart. But before we do, now if you can introduce yourself, who the heck are you? What market are you in? And what is your overall business model in real estate?
Okay. I'm in the, mainly the Richmond market, but I do Virginia, Richmond all the way down to Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. And I've been investing for 30 years. I started off as a realtor, and then I started buying holds. And it kind of transitioned into full service. We pretty much do everything. We list, we short sale, we wholesale, we do sub twos, owner finance, you name it, we do it. There's pretty much nothing we don't do. And the way it's worked out for me, that's just been the best success for me, is I'm always looking for new properties for myself. Mm-hmm. So I pick an area and I farm that area. And we try and target it several ways through Facebook ads, where we're targeting those ads to that particular area, through bandit signs and through mail, mm-hmm. so that they're getting those three touches. And we blanket that area for a time period, for about a 6 month time period. My ultimate goal is to pick up more properties for me. Mm-hmm. When properties don't fit my portfolio needs, we wholesale them. We'll list them, we'll short sale them. A lot of times I just kick them over to other investors that I know that want it. If there's not enough money in it, I just did that with two this week. Mm-hmm. There wasn't enough money in it for anybody, but I knew investors that wanted them. So I kicked them over to them, and I hope they'll kick me back sometime. But, for me, I concentrated maybe this past summer. I was like, let me go after more wholesale deals. And that just didn't really work out for me. Mm-hmm. When I did that, I kept finding more deals for me. And I said, I'm going about this wrong. Let me get back to my original platform where I'm going after targeting the deals that I want, and the leftovers, I'll get rid of wholesale or short sale or list them.
So I love that. Before we continue more, because you hear so often, and you're not a brand new investor. You know, you've been doing it for 30 years, you mentioned right before we hopped on here. So a lot of newer investors hop on and their strategy is wholesaling, and hopefully someday then they can pick up a rental or two, and or they stick in wholesaling forever, you know, for years with no real strategy on how to get out of the daily, just transactional part of real estate. And right. So you've got the flip side of it. You've got the long-term mindset. Do you have like a magical number you're going for as far as portfolio size or average or a monthly cash flow or anything?
So we've been doing this for a while. And for me, I'm looking for a lot of sub twos, a lot of owner finance. I'm looking for properties 150,000 and up. Mm-hmm. So I don't target those when I take a zip code and I advertise to the zip code. I'm advertising to all the price ranges. Last year I picked up 4 properties that were not in my target range. They just were great locations or needed minimal repairs. So I ended up keeping those. And I don't really have a set goal of how many I want. It's more about the deal. Really want great. If I only took 2 this year, which I've already gotten 2 this year, but if that was it, I love these 2 that I got. Uh-huh. If I get 10, 15, 20, and they're all great deals, I'm thrilled with that. So also being in it for a little bit longer for me, I don't have that pressure. I already am cash flowing fine enough monthly that I really do what I enjoy versus out of necessity.
Yep.
I don't have to hustle. I don't have to really. I've got a duplex in front of my beach house right now that I'm remodeling, and I'm actually doing a lot of it myself. I paint all the cabinets. Whatever I like to do, I do. And whatever I don't like to do, I'll hire out.
I love that mindset, Lori, because first of all, people kind of have this context for what a real estate investor should do. And they go to the mastermind and the person says, outsource all of this stuff and you should be doing these things. And I think people take that advice and they don't follow their own energy. I've got the energy audit. And if helping to rehab the house, but doing certain parts of it gives you energy, sweet. Like you said, go and do that if it gives you energy. If it doesn't, go do something else.
Well, and for me too, because I do all the marketing for our company, and I'm sure you can relate to this. Mm-hmm. You get into when I just built the new website, the takeovermymortgage.com.
Yep.
It was like 2 weeks of really into it and getting it all fine tuned. And afterwards, I didn't want to turn on the computer.
Yeah.
I go listen to music and paint and get myself kind of back in a good space again, you know? And then I'm hyped up again to get back online.
Yep.
Same with when I'm creating new videos, new ads for Facebook. I'll be hyped up doing it for a week, week and a half, and then I don't even want to hear about it again for a while.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you on that. And I'm crazy pumped to dive into that. So everyone that's listening to this, we are going to dive into what she's doing online, how she's leveraging Carrot to, you'll hear how well she's doing, but do amazingly well. I keep on seeing her postings on Facebook, hey, close another deal and hear some of the numbers. I'm like, she is absolutely crushing it. So we're going to get into how she's using Facebook here in a bit. We're going to get into what she's doing with Carrot and how it's working so well, but let's kind of go backwards. So you've been in real estate for 30 years. Have you been doing this for 30 years or did you transition from something else? Like you're a real estate agent and then you went over here.
I was a real estate agent, but also I've always had other businesses. So I have a furniture store. I had a couple of other retail businesses that I've done. My ex-husband is really an entrepreneur like me. So we still do business together. He'll be like, hey, I can get a container of this shipped into the country. I'm like, yes, count me in. There's not really any, if I go into a restaurant, I rarely sit and eat. I'm usually counting how many heads in the restaurant, figuring out what's the average ticket price? How much money are they making?
Yeah.
That's just fun for me.
Yep. So what's the wackiest, this popped through my mind, sorry to interrupt you. What's the wackiest container of stuff you guys have shipped in? I'm assuming you have, by the way, you said that. Is there something that's kind of wacky or offbeat that you guys have shipped?
There is. So, well, and weird things like that. We also will go to like UPS auctions and just because we hear of one and show up and we'll bid on these closed containers and you open it up and then you find out what it is and then we figure out how to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But there was a guy down at Nagset that was selling these really cool beach spinners. And he was selling them for $75 a piece and they were selling out. So I contacted the supplier and I said, you know, we would love to sell them. And we brought them up to one of our retail stores. And a month in, my ex-husband's Lebanese. He was Israeli. He said, you know, I just realized that, you know, your husband's Lebanese. I don't want to do business with somebody Lebanese. We had 3 left. We had been blowing them out the door. So
yeah,
I saved the last 3. I shipped them off to China and I had somebody there manufacture them. He only did them in red, white, and blue. Uh-huh. I did them in a multitude of colors and had a 40-foot container.
Really?
Back in, yeah. Sure. And we got him. He was wholesaling them to us for $50, and we were selling them for $75. But when I got them shipped in from China, they were delivered into Norfolk for $10.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
That was just fun. It was just kind of fun to just kind of thumb our nose at them, too.
Yeah. So
sometimes that's just the point of it.
That is funny. I love
to research and break something down and find out what's the core of it. So,
and that's the cool thing, right? What you're talking about is you're taking the same mindset, you're applying it to one type of an asset, finding right. people who want it, people who you can get it to, and you're just going, okay, now here's real estate, now here's this product. And that's cool because that is what entrepreneurs do. And that's one thing that a lot of newer investors that I'll talk to, they'll kind of get stuck thinking, we've got to perfect all this real estate stuff. I'm like, well, in order to do that, yeah, you got to figure it out, but you got to really get that mindset of the entrepreneur down first.
Yeah.
In the marketing and all that
and
stuff.
I have my kids are all college age kids, and they like to go to festivals, and mm-hmm. some of these festivals are expensive. They're like $400 for a ticket, for a weekend ticket. And I'll be like, look, order some jewelry off of Alibaba, take it to the festival, get yourself a booth.
Yeah.
So you'll still be able to go with a couple of your friends, take turns at the booths. You'll be able to go and make some money and see the concerts, just to keep them in it too. They get excited about it. They come
exactly.
instead of going and spending $400, they'll come home with a couple of thousand. So
I can't beat that. I love it. So you've been a real estate agent. You have a furniture store, lots of cool different things. Is there anything else work-wise that kind of led you to, I guess, what led you to this now, wholesaling, buying rental properties?
I think because I started off as a realtor, and we owned restaurants, we owned tobacco stores. We always really did well with business. We always made money in business, but we never knew what to do with our money. Neither one of our parents were stock, IRA kind of thing. And so real estate was the only thing I knew where to invest.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just constantly been, when we make a lot of money, what do we do with it? Let's just buy more property.
Gotcha.
And I love real estate. Like, I know a lot of people do this as a hustle, a way to get cash, but I enjoy old architecture. Mm-hmm. I love homes. I love the whole process of it.
There's some cool stuff over in Richmond too. I mean, I live in Oregon, so like old yeah. here, the building I'm in is probably one of the older buildings in town. And this is built in like the 1880s. And you get back over there and it's actually yeah. legit old architecture. There's a lot more of it.
My beach house and the one that I'm renovating right now, they're in the 1880s, both of them.
That is
so
cool.
Yeah, Richmond is very historic. So you truly get that old architecture.
I love it. So you started to take the profits from other businesses. You went, okay, what am I going to do with this? How do I kind of create that wealth wheel and go, I've got money and need to have the money working for me. Real estate's a good path for it. Did you start buying rentals first and then started wholesaling? Did you start wholesaling and then rentals? Kind of what was the...
No, I started buying rentals first. And so we're talking back at the time when there really was assumables.
Yep.
And so we would just go around and assume anybody's, if they said 10 grand, assume our mortgage, we would do it.
Mm.
And we picked up a lot that way. As we got into these little market crashes, I've been through two market crashes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did a lot more cash deals where you could pick them up from the banks for 30 cents on the dollar.
Okay. Okay.
So that's kind of where we jumped into buying more commercial duplexes, larger properties that way.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're back to... they're not assumables, but we buy a lot of sub twos right now. Jonathan Rexford, he has kind of coached me on that, still coaches me on that to this day. He's fantastic with that. And Jeff Filali as well. He's really good with sub twos. So I like those. I like keeping my cash. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, walking into homes that need minimal repairs.
Yeah.
And I had a meeting today with a realtor who had never heard of this possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to him how you know, he short sales or watches people go into foreclosure, and even a short sale kills your credit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, we can restore their credit. We'll catch up their back payments. We'll make payments for them. He was blown away that this was out there and he had never heard of it. So I'd love to network with realtors. I think a lot of investors and realtors butt heads. I don't. I love to work with realtors. I'll help them out as much as I can with the business. You know, it's just a nice give and take with them.
From what I've found, and I agree with you, there are a lot of people, realtors, who butt heads with the agent or with investors and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And it usually seems it's when they don't understand the value that the other person's looking to get or to add, right? In this case,
right.
the agent is just trying to sell this house and they want to get the most money for it. But where a lot of the newer, let's say wholesalers come in, they're lowballing these houses. And they're like, well, shoot, they're going to lowball this retail house. It's going to sell and it's going to sell just fine. They're just going out there to try to lowball versus if you can help them actually sell a house that they could never have sold before. That's right. Such a high value. And then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, the real estate investor is this savior. I need to work with you more because now I'm able to save this house. In that case, is that real estate agent, if they refer you over, are they earning a commission or a fee or anything like that?
If it's just a normal size deal, we pay them a referral fee. If it's a larger deal and there's some equity in it, they'll get a percentage of the deal. The great thing about them is when the realtor refers them to us and we can save their house and save their credit, we'll pull it out of foreclosure. Those people generally qualify for a new loan within 2 years after us restoring their credit. So they can go back to that realtor that helped them out and buy a new home, something maybe that's a little more in their price range, something that wasn't overtaxing them.
Gotcha. Are those homeowners ever staying in the house, or are they always, like, what's the situation? Are they staying? Are they leaving and getting new tenants in?
Ours aren't staying. But we do help them find properties because we have a lot of rental properties. Sometimes we put them into a rental property. Okay. Sometimes we assist them with, if we've had a couple of people where they've had a spouse die and they really just, their income has dropped in half.
Okay.
And so we try and find something that they can realistically afford, not put them into something that they're going to get in trouble again.
Yeah. You know? One really cool thing, Lori, on a previous episode of the Carrot Cast, we had Tang Nguyen and the Odd Brothers. That's the name of their company. It's called the Odd Brothers down in Dallas. And it's three guys who they were competing wholesalers. They met at Aria. They hit it off. And one day they decided, well, shoot, we're all closing deals on the side. Let's just join forces. The reason I call the Odd Brothers, one guy's a white guy, there's an Asian, a black guy. And they just felt, I guess it was a cool pairing, but they closed over 100 deals this last year. And they use Carrot for part of it. But you ask them, like, where did most of your deals come from? Most of their deals came from other wholesalers who couldn't close the deal. They got a lead, no equity in there. And then the person sitting there going, well, there's not a deal here. And once he started networking, they started networking, saying, hey guys, send me all those deals you think that you aren't deals. I'll look at them. And all they're doing is subject to things like that. So have you had some good success networking with other investors, especially the newer wholesalers, and going, hey, deals you can't close, send them my way, especially if they have low equity?
We do. I get a lot of people like that. And generally I'll walk the new person through it. So it's not like we just take it over from them. We'll joint venture with them, walk it through them, get them familiar with it. Sometimes it ends up being two or three times before they feel comfortable to do them on their own. But I do speak to a lot of people that are Carrot people. And when we talk about what percentage of leads we're closing, and they're closing a lot lower percentage than us for our Carrot leads, because they only have one exit strategy.
Yep.
They don't have the multitude of exit strategies. And they seem like, well, I'm just not getting the right leads from Carrot. And I say, there isn't a house that we can't make an offer on. Every house there's a deal in. The homeowner may not like your deal, but there is a deal in every lead that comes through to us. Cause we do have realtors on our team, so we can list, we can short sale, we can wholesale, we can do a multitude of creative options, lease option. There's something for everybody. It may not be what they want. Some homeowners are unrealistic, but we always present an offer. There's never a time where we just say there's no offer there.
So what's the kind of the average lead to close ratio that you're seeing that's coming from your Carrot system? How many leads will it take to do some sort of a deal, whether it's listing, subject to?
I think we're a little higher than probably most. I would say 7 to 8 out of every 10 leads.
Something.
Yeah.
Jeez. So, yeah. That's crazy.
It's pretty high ratio compared to other people.
Uh-huh.
But also, you know, my acquisitions people all have real estate backgrounds and sales backgrounds. Leola is, she's the number one up in Richmond for us. Mm-hmm. She came from working at a timeshare. She managed a timeshare phone center for 20 years. She's a very strong closer. If you just give the people the tools, if you teach them the proper ways, you know, it's building that rapport with the homeowner and offering the deal that is acceptable to them. Now, the ones that even the ones that don't, that say no out the gate, a lot of times come back to us.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come back to us in 4 to 6 months and sign back up. We just had one that was like that 6 months ago, said, no, can't do it, and came back and said, now I'll accept your price. That happens a lot with the listings too. They'll want retail, and I'll say, look, we'll put you with our agent. He'll list at retail. After 6 months and they can't sell, then they become a little more realistic about what's going on with the property.
Yep. I love it. So with the seven, let's assume you get 10 leads in, just using that number, let's say seven become a deal of some way, shape or form.
Right.
What's kind of the average breakdown? How many of those are ones that you're doing, you're listing? How many of those are ones that maybe you guys are buying out? Like, what's kind of the breakdown of those seven or eight with the exit strategies you got?
I would say with eight, there's probably going to be two will be straight wholesale.
Okay.
Another one or two will be creative financing. The rest are going to be short sales or they're going to be listings.
Okay.
So it works out pretty close to those numbers, I would say monthly. Sometimes it's, depending on the market too. If we're in the winter months down here at the beach, the winter months, we have a lot more creative deals. People want to get out. Their houses aren't making any money. They're ready to dump them. So gotcha. We offer a lot more creative at the beach than we do up in Richmond.
So I want everyone to reverse and listen to this last few minutes, because the reason I dug into that a little bit more and what Lori said there a second ago, she said, when I talk to a number of Carrot members, we hear this all the time too. Hey, I'm getting leads. Well, shoot, there's actually one. She's amazing. She was one of our probably first couple hundred Carrot members, and she was even a case study, and she was like closing 20, 30 deals a year. We love her still. But then she ended up hitting me up saying, I'm not closing any deals anymore. I think I'm not having to exit the business. This is probably 2.5 years ago. And we're going, whoa, what happened? You're ranking number one in a really competitive market. She put in the work to get the Google ranking. She's getting 20 to 30 seller leads a month. The lead volume didn't change. The ranking didn't change. Nothing changed. We're looking at this like, what's going on? She didn't change her exit strategies as the market started to shift a little bit, as more competition came in, as some of the things happened. And so we ended up purchasing the website from her. We sold it to another Carrot client in the same market. And immediately deals started coming out of it again. And this guy, he owns a real estate brokerage. He's an investor and he's really creative stuff. And so he turned what was something that was a dry well for her, she thought, into something that's a multiple six-figure profit stream for this guy now. And we see that all the time, where if you guys actually look at each one of those, and I think you guys need to lock into your brain what Lori said there, for them, because they've mastered these things. We're not saying you're going to have these numbers. Okay, you might if you work your butt off and get the right team. But for them, they're closing like 60, 70, 80% of their leads into some sort of a transaction, some sort of a deal. A lot of other people are 1 in 20, 1 in 30, 1 in 15, which is still good. 1 in 15 is solid. But how do you cut it to 1 in 7? If you can do that, 1 in 7, 1 in 10, or you flip it around like her, it's like 7 in 10, you can spend so much more on marketing if you want to. You can do less marketing and still have the same income that you want to have, because you're able to leverage those in more ways. I love it. I love it. So that's the breakdown. Listen to that. Find ways you can add those to your mix. So to get those leads now, I know you mentioned at the start and before we hit record, I was kind of asking your breakdown, because I knew you were doing SEO. I see you ranking well there, and I've seen, those Facebook posts where you post, hey, here's another deal and here's some numbers, and people ask, where'd it come from? And you're like, SEO on Carrot. I'm like, sweet. I love seeing that stuff work. So what's your marketing breakdown look like right now overall to get 100 leads? Kind of what's that marketing breakdown look like?
Well, for us, really initially when I started off with Carrot, which was last January, Caleb took over and started doing my SEO for me.
Okay.
And that, SEO isn't overnight. And I think a lot of people have that expectation. They're going to start, we're paying for SEO. We're going to get the leads. That really, Carrot and SEO are the foundation of our business.
Hmm.
If you don't have that solid foundation, I've also heard from people who have messaged me and said, I've had a Carrot account for 2 years and I haven't gotten a client.
Yep.
I go, what kind of marketing are you doing? Oh, none.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What kind of SEO? You're doing PPC? No, nothing. Well,
they expected it to do that.
They're not going to come to you. Yeah. You have to, and it's different. Some people love PPC. PPC isn't a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is tremendous for me. It's I mean, really drives people in. The Google Map Packs, we're ranked number one with them. We're ranked number one, I think, on two of our keywords in all of our cities. So those constantly, that's that ones that you can sleep and you wake up, you don't really have any. Sometimes I have Facebook ads, like December, I didn't run any Facebook ads. They were too ridiculously expensive.
Yep.
So we didn't run a Facebook ad at all in December. Picked them back up in January, but I still had leads coming in because of the SEO and the map pack.
Yep.
We also do, like I was saying, we farm a particular area. So we'll also mail out a monthly flyer to that same group that we're targeting. We'll put bandit signs. We're not as aggressive with bandit signs as some people with going out and kind of plastering the whole area. I really don't like to piss off code enforcement. Even though our fines aren't that bad, I try and find people who will agree to allow us to put their signs in their yard or their business so that we don't have that hassle with it. But it's just that branding that they keep seeing our image over and over again in our Facebook videos, on our mailing, on the bandit signs. It's just a continual thing. The name becomes our, we trade under We Buy VA Houses. We also run some radio ads, which they're fun. We have a rap song that goes on the radio that we do in the summer.
Can we find that thing anywhere? That'd be awesome.
It's really good. That actually gets, and it, I still run it right now, gets about 22,000 views per month on Facebook.
Really? Yeah. That is cool. That's way cool.
Isn't that crazy?
I love it.
And I had a lot of people when I had this guy make this rap video for us. A lot of people were like, that is so corny, Lori. No, and the majority of the people that watch it are over the age of 45.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. They were like, you're going to hit the wrong target. You're going to get all the young kids. No, didn't work out like that. But it was kind of an old rap.
So that one there, are you running that like as a retargeting ad? Is it a cold audience just blanketing?
No, that's kind of a draw in. So because it gets so many views, that's just where we capture a lot of pixels from.
Yep.
Usually my video ads are meant to be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really meant to sell a message. They're for me to capture those pixels. Then we retarget them with some sort of free offer. My number one thing, I don't see anybody do it besides me, is I use the carrot landing pages of download your free guide to stop foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves that. And then we have an event pixel on that page so we can further retarget those people. We also do the, we'll do the pros and cons of selling with a realtor, selling to an investor.
Okay.
Once we get those down into a smaller event pixel, then we really hit them heavy hard with our "Let us buy your house now" ad. You know, target them hard with that, and it just, when you look at your leads at the end of the month, you can see how many came back from retargeting, and it's very effective.
So I want to break this down for people here because. Number one, what you just walked through is awesome and amazing. And most, like you said, most investors don't go to that level. Most go, I'm either going to put a retargeting pixel on my, I'm going to put the pixel on my website. I'm going to retarget back ads. And they go normal ads, right? Here's a few testimonials, which those are great. And here's a, I can buy your house. They, if they're lucky, they might upload a video or something like that. But it's usually more, hey, I can buy your house. Use a testimony. Those are great. Like, don't stop doing those, guys. We're just, I just want to show you another way that can likely get your cost per lead and click cost down. But what Lori's mentioning is she's going, okay, how do we start with this big pond first and cast a wide net and gauge interest? Because those are really cheap views oftentimes with videos. So are you asking for people to click that Facebook ad of that rap song or some of those other big wide things? Are you asking them to click a link? Are you just gauging how long they watch and then based on their watch time, putting them in another audience?
The initial ads are run for traffic.
Okay.
They're traffic ads that are going to direct them back to the carrot site.
Yep.
85% of our viewers are viewing from mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
So we optimize our videos for people who are on phone as well, which has made a big difference. It's brought our people stay and watch it longer. I think our average view time is 11 seconds.
Yep.
So it's another reason where for the first traffic ad, that's just supposed to be fun and engaging and bright colors and anything to get them to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
For the second ad, if it's going to be a video ad, we do have some video foreclosure ads that are really heavy, hard hitting for retargeting. We want to get our message out about our company in really the first 5 to 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of people I see put their information at the end of the ad. And if you watch, most people don't watch till the end of the ad. So I want something, our logo, something to pop up in the first couple of seconds so that that's becoming familiar to them. The branding becomes familiar to them.
Is there anything else you'd suggest people put in that first 5 or 6 seconds to make sure you're locking them in into their memory?
We have kind of a system on how we, when we're moving to the secondary ad, it's identify the person's problem, whether it's foreclosure, short sale, whether they're relocating. We have, I think, 17 different ads that we run right now.
Yep.
Identify the problem, associate the emotion that goes with that problem, stress or discomfort or, you know, whatever things that they're associated with the feeling of what they're going through. And then a solution to that, propose a solution to that problem. And then fourthly, a call to action. Yep. And that is just our guideline for our ads for the retargeting.
So everyone jot down some notes and listen to this. Okay. The average real estate investor, and you'll see a lot of people who say Facebook works for them or some who say it doesn't. I want you to compare what you're doing or what you've heard other people doing to what Lori just described, because what most people are doing is, like I said, they have a certain subset of ads that are more direct ask ads that are generic to almost any seller in any situation. Hey, need to sell your house in Richmond. We can buy your house. Click here, full cash. Okay. That's cool. But every other real estate investor that's running Facebook ads in your market is doing the exact same thing. So if you can drill down to their situation, like she's doing, she's driving them to pages, landing page for foreclosure, landing page for, you know, comparing it to a real estate agent, things like that, situational types of targeting. Once she knows their situation and their motivation or their pain, then like she said, then she can put them into another bucket in Facebook and deliver them up ads specifically to their situation. So if you can imagine, if I inherited a home and I watched her video, I clicked it, I get put in a retargeting sequence. Is there in some way, shape or form, then I see, I'm just making this up, I don't even know if you have one, but let's say that you have a landing page for how to deal with the home that you inherited and I land there. Cool, I click that. And now that's a new pixel that Lori's put on there to go, oh, cool, this guy he's interested in inherited, like he inherited a house. Okay, now she knows that ad she can serve up can be a video like, hey, did you inherit a house here in the Richmond, Virginia area and you're looking to sell it and you have all these pains and frustrations and this is going through your mind and you don't know what to do with it? Well, awesome. Let me walk you through some ways you can handle that. Like, oh my gosh, she is speaking to me. How does she know that I have a house I inherited? I need to deal with it. She's going to win every time in that situation versus just seeing another ad in Facebook that's we can buy your house. I'm going to work with Lori every time. I love it. Yeah. I love it. So what's your, let's break down a couple of metrics there if you're cool with it. I'm going to keep on asking questions. If there's any spot you don't want me to ask, you don't want to give me a friend, yeah, you don't have to. So what is your average Facebook budget per month right now that you're putting in for Facebook?
Mine's really small. Okay. I know people think that it costs a lot, but once you can really, it costs a lot in the beginning when you're testing ads, but once you get those tested out and you're finding what's the best audience, what's the best video, what's the best message to get across, I think we run $350 to $500 a month in Facebook ads.
Okay.
It delivers the most views on our page. Okay. SEO, I have to say, delivers the most motivated client. Mm-hmm. Facebook ads, the motivation isn't 100% there always. Mm-hmm. The SEO client that comes through when they've Google searched and are really searching sell my house, those people are really ready to go. And we try and return those phone calls in the first 10 minutes because you're not the only person they hit up. They hit 1, 2, and 3 and who's going to get back to them first kind of a thing.
Yep. They're in search mode for sure. Yep.
We still have Craigslist ads. We still get a fantastic draw off of those. I know that people get frustrated with Craigslist ads, but really, it's just learning how to do them effectively. We do paid ads on Craigslist. Works well for us. We pay $5 per ad, and that usually keeps you up on the first page for a month.
Yep.
I don't know anything cheaper. And if you go into the free ads, other investors are going to flag you. Mm-hmm. You're just wasting your time. It used to be you could do that. You could post a... We used to have 200 ads running constantly.
Yeah.
And then the competition just became too fierce with the free ads. So we do the paid ads with them, but they're still relatively inexpensive.
Yeah. So where are you posting those in Craigslist? Where are those paid ads going?
So we go into the real estate section, the finance section, the labor and moving. There's one other one. Financial.
Okay.
So in the financial section, we'll go into, that's where we do a lot of targeting toward our subject too. People who are, you have no equity in your property. You're under, is your house underwater? We can help, kind of a thing. The real estate ad, we run a regular generic one. In the moving section, when people are they're moving, a lot of times they're moving because they just got served with a pre-foreclosure notice. And they're
Gotcha.
You're looking for laborers to help get them out before the house is foreclosed. So we pick up people off of that. Okay. I also run ads there for our buyers, too, to our buyers carrot page. So it's relatively inexpensive. I think we spend $100 a month with them.
I've got your buyers page pulled up, and same thing. We were talking right before you hopped on here. I'm like, you guys have a lot of buyers in here. And you'd mention, and this just like, I'm going to honestly give a shameless plug here. And it's really, really cool to see these results after she's been executing. And that's the thing. She didn't just like plug it in and sit back. She's been executing. You guys can see she's got a plan. She's making it different than others, and she's executing. So your buyers list inside of here right now is about 600 some odd in here. But you mentioned before that you already had another 600 some odd people in your MailChimp. How fast did your buyers list grow once you added in this element of building your buyers list, adding the carrot site?
Well, the other 600 were probably captured over 10 years.
Okay.
So this 600 came in, you know, 12 months. It was fantastic. It still grows.
Yep.
We make it a part of when we're going to advertise a lot of properties, we advertise on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom of each one of our Facebook ads, it says, if you're interested in more properties like this, please register for our buyers list. We take a little personal touch with anybody who registers. They usually get a phone call within the hour from us, from me usually.
Yep.
I like to talk to the investors. I really break down what their needs are, what they're looking for. And we have a short list. When a property comes up, if I know you're specifically looking for something like this, we usually personally call maybe 3 to 5 people before it ever goes out to our mail list, before it goes onto our carrot site.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that customer service with the investors that they like. They want first shot at it because they only work this county. That's their area. They don't want me to blast it out to 1,200 people before they've had a chance to run over. So we'll give them a couple of hours head start to pull the numbers, drive by, take a look at it, and then we'll blast it out to our MailChimp account and put it up onto the carrot site.
I love it. And guys, you can't see this right now. I'm looking at it. If you're watching the YouTube version, you can't see this here. I'm not sharing my screen, but I'm looking at Lori's, her cash buyer carrot site. And this is the cool thing, guys. It's one of the reasons that we built Care, honestly, because we've put in the work, the studying, the research, the hundreds of thousands of dollars into actually testing stuff to make it convert. And you haven't customized anything that I can see on the cash buyer site. You literally launched
anything on the buyer site.
You just launched it, attached a domain to it. I'm going to click around here. Now you have a registered investors login here page, which that just goes to the properties page, which has a bunch of properties.
That was one thing we had a problem with, is each time we found that when investors would come back, they would refill out the form. So I made a link to the front page for them to just go direct.
Nope, that's perfect. So guys, that's the thing, is you can customize this as much or as little. Out of the box, it's going to convert. The more you personalize it, the more you kind of just, you know, separate from others, the better our framework is then going to even perform for you if there's a lot of people using that same one that's not modified in other markets. But when we go over to your seller site, I'm bringing that up right here, and WeBuyRichmondVAHomes.com. You have personalized some of that, but same thing. I the reason I want to bring this up is a lot of people pressure themselves. They think they've got to make all this perfect and do all this stuff and make it look completely different than anyone else is in the market. And it holds them back from marketing. And you're like, I'm going to market and I'm going to tweak this thing and do as much as I need to do. And then I can always tweak it later. So what were some of those things that you guys did on your carrot site? You joined about a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. What did you first do in that first month, let's say, within your account?
Citations, the landing pages, mm-hmm. local city landing pages. That really helped a lot. A couple of press releases. Press releases we still keep up with. We do, Caleb's doing them every 3 to 4 months for us.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, you know, you see the new site that I just put up, and that's basically to attract sub twos. So that one right now, I just, you know, took your exact page and kind of changed the verbiage. Instead of saying we'll pay cash for your home, I changed all of those to we'll take over your mortgage, we'll pay your mortgage payment. But I wanted to keep as much of your content because I know that y'all have written it so that to perform. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to change it too much.
Yep. I'm looking at it right now. And you've got a video up there, Virginia Mortgage Relief Program.
Right.
You got a video there and you did update some of the copy. And same thing, guys, like I could look at this and go, oh my gosh, here's 17 things that she could swap out and probably see slight improvements of conversion. But that's the thing. Take action, getting something up there, make some modifications of content, get it rolling. You can always tweak and improve it as you go. And that's the name of the game. That's how you win, is by taking action. And what's the quote? Progress, not perfection. It's exactly what it is. Leverage something that converts, launch it, do some basic tweaking, go market it, and then keep tweaking and refining from there. I love it.
Yeah, and that page is just kind of in preparation for if we take a downturn on the market.
Exactly.
You know, I'm still playing around with it, getting everything fine-tuned before Caleb takes over and starts putting the SEO end on it.
That's a great domain name, by the way.
Once he starts with that, then we'll start seeing it move up in the ranking. I had tested it first on our We Buy VA Homes page. And I had done a couple of extra landing pages for Virginia Mortgage Relief, and they ranked right away, mm-hmm. and we were getting results from it. So that's where I decided we would make a dedicated site to it.
Those niche sites, I was talking with Ben Sochuk. He's coming out for Carrot Camp in May, his second Carrot Camp. Pumped to see him again. His family's driving out. And he has a niche too where it's home downsizing. And so he started homedownsizingsolutions.com. I believe that's the URL. And he's been running traffic to it, pay-per-click traffic, SEO. And it's kind of one of those same things where when he gets those deals, they're really good deals. It's not a huge volume because it's such a niche. The more you niche down, the lower the volume tends to be, but the higher the quality because the message speaks to the person. But that's something he's going into even more. He's going, okay, how do I now leverage this niche? Those who need to downsize and maybe they're selling so they can go into a retirement center or whatever it is. They have a big house and are actually looking to downsize. And there's a lot of different reasons. So are there niches that you guys can see in the future that you can prepare for right now, like Lori's doing? Get it seeded, get that site launched on Carrot, do some customization, start to get that SEO seeded in there. So in 12 months, in 8 months, 12 months, 14 months, 22 months, whenever that traffic starts to come, then it's there and ready instead of going, oh my gosh, short sales are the thing again. Then it taking you 12 months from the time that you noticed to have it there. Yeah.
And I noticed with y'all, which I hadn't paid attention because I hadn't created a page in a year, but that y'all have the template now for lease option page.
Yep.
So a lot of people are doing lease option, and how great is that, that it's already done for you. They can just pop in and go.
Yeah, we've got the lease option, owner finance we added last year. Let's see, land has been one that we've had land for a few, 2-3 years, but we're seeing a lot of resurgence in people coming in on the land side with Carrot. Actually, the number one by volume website on our system in February, and it took me by surprise, is a land site. And I know the guy, he's the only customer who's ever signed up in this office at this desk. He walked in here and he's like, how do I sign up with Carrot? And we all look at each other and go, internet, come over to my computer, just like do right here. And he has something like 9,000 or 10,000 land buyer leads, and he's pulling in dozens and dozens and dozens a day. Not paid marketing, all free. And land, we're seeing that big resurgence there. So if you guys are starting to see some things in your market, which the market is going to be a little bit different the next few years than it was the last few years, find those niches you can start to kind of hone in on. Find those things that you might be able to specialize a little bit in some things like Lori's doing here with mortgage relief. I love it. So let me break apart a couple more things. So you've got the Facebook side of it, about a $500 a month budget. What's your average cost per lead there on a given month?
Very low. Okay. I would say $300 a lead.
Okay. And then let's see, you've got the the Craigslist side of things. You got the SEO. Did you start doing any of the SEO yourself? Or did you hire Caleb to do that?
I hired Caleb. I didn't. You know, it's one of those things that you pick and choose. I love doing Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. I watch SEO videos and get a headache 1 minute in. Just my brain's exploding. Mm-hmm. Craigslist ads, I run those myself. We do cold calling when we're once we're finishing up a farm area. So when we're getting to the end of the farm area, mm-hmm. We're getting ready to move on. We have a virtual assistants that work for just a week, and they will cold call that whole area for the week and close those out, make sure we're not leaving anything left. Somebody who hasn't seen our sign, hasn't seen our ad, missed mm-hmm. our postcard, just to give it the last ditch effort. And I'll try new things as they come along. Like I said, we did radio ads last summer. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. I kept getting people calling, I heard your radio ad.
I love it. So you've got those things there. I just want to break this down here. What's your overall online marketing budget? You got the 500 or so from Facebook. You've got
spent 100 on, Craigslist. And when I started off doing SEO, I was spending $2,000 a month. That was getting ranked in two different markets.
Okay.
I did that for the first 6 months, and now Caleb has an a la carte menu. So now I kind of pick what I'm going to keep up with, what I'm doing, whether it's having him just fix something stupid for me that I can't figure out, or if I'm getting him to do tweak the page, do press release, do something. I couldn't read the other day. I got new domain name for it. I bought takeovermymortgage.com, and then I also bought Virginia Mortgage Relief, and I couldn't redirect them. I have no idea. I kept trying and trying. I called Caleb, and he was nice enough to hop on there.
I love it. So I'm adding up some numbers here. So with that, and you guys don't have to spend $2,000 for SEO. She had it in multiple markets. Right. Caleb's really good. It's funny. I remember Caleb showing up to our coaching calls when he was just learning SEO a few years ago, whenever it was. And he was like diligent going through our three lead per day training. He'd show up to every coaching call, and then you'd see the results he's pulling in with his stuff. And then that was the cool thing when he started helping other Carrot members, because he'd learned what we had done. He'd added on his own methods, which is amazing, and it's working great. So you invested about $12,000 for the 6 months with him, which you're now continuing, because with SEO, it's a long-term game.
Right.
I was talking with one of our big clients down in Tennessee, and they were ranking number one in Google for years, and they stopped doing SEO completely. I'm like, guys, in order to retain that, you guys got to keep it going, because your competitors are hustling. Caleb's actually one of the guys in his market that's overtaken some of their rankings. And I had a call with them this week, and they're down to like 7 or 8. I'm like, guys, we talked about it 2 years ago. And this is what happens if you don't maintain your SEO.
And there's changes. This year, there's been a lot of changes in Google's algorithms. So you have to keep up with that. The same with Facebook. I take the Facebook offers a free blueprint course, mm-hmm. and I probably take it once a year.
Cool.
Because there's changes. You have to go through and keep up with what's going on in the market.
Yep.
I know that Google now is pulling a lot more from social media. I think mm-hmm. it's 20% of your Google ranking is from that. So that's been easy for us because we were already there, but some people weren't, they weren't doing any social media. They were just doing the PPC and the SEO.
Exactly.
So the social credibility. They understand why their rankings weren't the same. Well, we haven't changed anything. We're still doing it. And you gotta have somebody smart like Caleb that knows the algorithm. I don't know them, but I trust him to do it.
Yeah, no, he pulls good results. So I added the numbers from Facebook, from Craigslist. I'm assuming this over a 6 month period, because just to make it all equal, since you paid the $2,000 for the 6 months, it's about $18,000. We course it over a year, a little over 20 or so. So in that course of the year, about 20,000, maybe 20, 25 in online marketing, ad spend, investment in there, with SEO, all that. What's been the return so far off the top of your head? In revenue to the bottom line, and or I know a lot of them you hold, or they're in your kind of passive cash flow. What's that ROI been with that $20,000?
You know, I haven't done my taxes for this year, so I don't know the exact ROI. But I can tell you this: with in January when we started with SEO and we got our very first lead mm-hmm. off of SEO was $20,000 profit in it. So right then I was
break hooked. Even. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right then you're just hooked. I was kind of crying about stroking out a check to Caleb for you know, $2,000, and then bam, $20,000, and that was it. Yep. And consistently, we do between 2 and 4 wholesale deals a month that are generally $10,000 to $20,000 is what we hold on those.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really calculate. That's where the accountant has to write down. I can't calculate what we did on sub twos.
Yeah.
So we took 5 properties sub 2 last year, and we bought 4 for cash, and they were all from leads from Carrot. So that's another whole side of it. And yep. And then what we did with my ex-husband is the one that he gets all the leads from that need to be listed. This month he has $3 million in leads. So he has $3 million in listings.
In listings, yeah.
Currently right now.
Okay.
3 of them he's already sold this month. So, my accountant's going to have a fun time breaking all that.
So you're doing multiple wholesale deals a month on average, 10 to 20. So we'll use 15.
Yeah.
And let's just, I'm doing the math in my head real quick. That's, let's say $30,000 to $45,000 or so a month there. Let's times that by 12. It's over $400,000 in rev there. And then you got the sub two. So you've basically got, you're a couple grand a year with Carrot. You've got $20,000 to $30,000 a year in your online marketing spend, and you're getting a return of north of $400,000 on that. So whatever that is, over a 10x.
Yeah, this year for our sub twos, we're hoping to get 10 is our goal, and we try a minimum cash flow 400. Some of them, the beach house here is going to cash flow for a lot more than that because it's going to be an Airbnb. So I think the beach house brings in $97,000 a year on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So our Airbnbs are a little higher ROI than our straight rentals, but the minimum we take is 400 a month on those. So that's, that's an extra $40,000 a year on top of that.
Yep.
So just a little bit different. That's your long-term gain with your sub twos and your owner finance. And I don't get anything off of the real estate deals. You would think I would, but I don't. when he lists those, the kickback is when I need to wholesale deals, we do get some that just need minor work and there's just a lot of profit. I don't want to keep them. So we'll do a quick clean out and throw them on. He'll put them on MLS for us for free.
Oh, cool. Can't beat that. Yeah. So that's a good trade.
It's the trade off. Or if I did last year, I did 4 flips and he got no commission.
Mm-hmm. So. It works. It works. Yeah. I love it. So this is what I love about this, Lori, is number one, I appreciate you opening up and just sharing a lot of things. A lot of people kind of have a scarcity mindset to kind of hold close. And the attitude that you mentioned right before we hit record was that, I share everything and most people don't go out there and execute anything. So I hope that people listening to this, you're going to go grab something from this. Okay. Grab something from this episode of the Carrot Cast and execute it. It could be that Facebook ad strategy, and yeah, it's going to take some work, and yeah, you or someone else has to sit down and think this through and draw it out and re-listen to how we laid out that structure and go test things and waste some money first before you figure out how to make it work and then make it work. Or, maybe you're going to go in there and dial in a new niche kind of website ahead of the curve. Maybe it's going to be an owner finance one in your market, a mortgage relief one in your market, something like that, right? Take one thing from this call and execute it this week. Not all, just one thing. Okay, just one thing, guys. And then the cool thing too that I wanted to do here is anytime I'm tracking just the cool conversations that are going on Facebook, number one, I always want to connect with people because I want to learn what you guys are doing, because I'm learning things from you on this going, okay, that right there is a slight modification to what I've done or what I've seen. I'm going to now put that in my brain bank and start testing some things and see if I can continue to iterate and improve. And so I get to learn in these, and I appreciate you coming and sharing your story. But the biggie here is we have so many people having success with Carrot, but also there's always that faction of it's not working for me. Right. And I wanted to bring Lori on here and break it down to go, okay, exactly what is she doing to make it work? And she didn't go through our concierge program. She didn't pay us to dial in the visual of it and all that stuff. They did basic updates on the website. They updated photos, put a video on there, things like that. Good credibility on there. She's really active in social, which is really great for credibility and can help with SEO in some spots. And then she made sure to invest in marketing. She's like, okay, I'm going to drive people here. How am I going to do that? Well, for her, she really enjoys Facebook and she's going to learn it. She's going to jam on it and she's getting really, really good cost leads. And then she goes, but also I don't want that boom and bust or the ebb and flow of that marketing, the traffic to happen. So she mentioned this is key. She mentioned she shut her Facebook ads down in February. If she didn't, or in December, if she didn't have her SEO going, which is more consistent and builds momentum over time as you're growing it. It would have been probably pretty uncomfortable to shut off those Facebook ads, or maybe it wouldn't have been, but you just wouldn't have had leads coming in.
Right.
Which would have been a bummer. So picture that, guys. That's where SEO comes in. It's a momentum builder. It takes time, but it builds momentum and it's consistent. It's predictable. Like, that's what you want from your lead flow. I love it. Lori, anything else? Like, I guess what's your year look like this year? Are you guys ramping up anything? You're going to keep with the plan and just execute the heck out of it? Kind of what's the rest of 2019 look like?
We are really ramping up with creative finance deals, owner finance deals, sub two deals, wholesale. I always say I'm the accidental wholesaler. Mm. I just don't want to leave that money on the table. And that's why we hired the acquisition people. But it's not that it's our main target. It's, you know, it's just that there are good deals that I'm not interested in. So I'd love to pass them along to other people. We're doing a lot more with our, since now we've got the 1,200 buyers with us, we do a lot more JVs this year than we did last year. Mm. This year starting off really strong for JVs. Love to help anybody that needs help moving a property. We're really good with analyzing a deal too. And I think everybody on my team is great with that. They're great with breaking down numbers and they're always willing to help. So if you're an investor and you say, I can't, you know, in our new wholesaler in our area, I can't figure out why this house is flipping, give us a call. We can go over the numbers with you and get you dialed back in. And maybe your numbers are right, but you're just not hitting the right people.
This is so cool, because when you were kind of breaking down what you're doing in your business, the thing that I love the most, Lori, is you're like, I just do the parts that I like to do, and I like the Facebook part, and I really couldn't picture me doing SEO, so someone else does that, and I really like swinging some hammers every now and then, and I love it. You just dig in and do the things, because
I really don't. I'm not good with homeowners, and I know that everybody thinks, well, you got to be a closer. Well, I mean, I can close. I know sales techniques, but I really don't have diplomacy, and I show too much expression on my face. If they're sitting there and they're talking about their problems, and I think, God, my children know better than that, it comes to that scoff comes across on my face. Like, what do you mean? You decided to have plastic surgery instead of pay for your mortgage? Yeah. And I kind of show contempt on my face, so I'm not good to go on those appointments. With investors, funny. That works to my advantage. They want the cold, hard truth. Mm-hmm. They don't want somebody to sugarcoat it. And Eddie and Leola are fantastic. They're very empathetic, caring people to deal with homeowners. I'm just not good at that.
That's awesome. So I'm going to recap some lessons here. Number one, pick the parts of the business after you start to have some success and do the parts you like to do. Okay. It gives you energy. It's going to make it more fun to wake up and do the work, right? Because a lot of people look at, man, I'll be happy and have fun with my work in years. Once this happens, find spots now to be happy and have fun with your work. Number two, how do you make it to where you're closing a lot more of your leads into deals? Okay. When you heard Lori's numbers, on average, 7 to 8 out of 10 of those leads turn into something. Number one, her leads are really high quality because they're coming from SEO, and/or really good Facebook campaign and some other routes, but really, really high close percentage because she has different ways to exit the deal. So find ways that you can help people with no equity. Find ways that you can help people that are asking retail. Make that happen. It's going to be crazy important as you move forward. Number three, if you're going to do Facebook ads, guys, do them in a way to where it separates you from others. Don't just do the, hey, here's my We Buy Houses video or picture and that's it. Do some other things. Any other lessons you want to leave people with here, Lori, before we wrap this episode of the Carrot Cast?
I think, you know, if you're really serious about getting in this business, it's just like if you want to get into building a house, you need the good foundation. Carrot's the good foundation to start off with. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier. I could concentrate on my business without having to worry about writing code and getting everything straight. Like we said with my one site, I haven't changed a word on it. I think I uploaded a video on the buyer side. I didn't do anything to it. Mm-hmm. That being said, with the Carrot site, SEO goes hand in hand.
Yep.
I don't think that you could get leads from your Carrot site if you just did Facebook ads, but you're going to have to constantly work at getting those leads with SEO. I don't have to. It's on autopilot if you hire somebody to do it, and I go to sleep at night and I wake up last Sunday, woke up with 5 leads in the morning. So you don't have to sit and worry about how is this ad performing. You don't have to watch it.
Yep.
SEO works on its own.
One last question for you, Lori, that this pops up for me is I'm always curious because I want to kind of break it down. What are we doing right? What do we need to improve? And I'd love to connect with you after this too. Just, there's a lot of things we're going to be rolling out this year to make your guys' life easier, but there's a lot of options. You could have built a custom site. You could have went with one of our competitors, all that stuff. Why did you guys end up joining Carrot out of all the other options?
I'm really a research person, and it's the same with, you know, we never went over a CRM, but I researched CRMs for a year. I eventually, Caleb actually built one. Investor Fuse was my one, but they weren't launching the 2.0, and I needed it then. Mm-hmm. But Caleb built me one, and it does everything that I needed to do. But that's what Carrot was. Carrot was everything I needed to do. I think your price is extremely reasonable. Mm. I pay $99 a month for the three sites. I don't know if your prices are still that. Okay. I don't want to be telling that. Everyone's like, what?
We've had some investors at big masterminds. They're like, I feel bad for telling you because you might raise my price, but you need to raise our prices. And yeah, I mean, we probably should, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We're not going to raise your price on your plan, but we are adding new features this year. That's for sure.
I think, you know, I mean, even if you just get the one site, one site is affordable. It's what, 59? Is that correct?
50, yeah.
50. I mean, that's affordable. Anybody can afford that to do that. It'll be the basis of your business. I know you guys are probably have enough people. You know, probably don't even need a new client, but I've loved it. I haven't had a complaint with it.
I love it. Lori, I appreciate you coming on this episode of the Carrot Cast and sharing your story. And I'm pumped to keep on following you on Facebook and just seeing all the cool stuff you're doing. You contribute so much to people there too. So where can people find you if they want to connect with you? If they're in Richmond, they want to work with you on some deals, where can they find you?
Caleb and I have the online and virtual wholesaling, which that's just a free group where we just like to kind of, hang out with people and talk about. I talk about Facebook ads.
It's a good group, good Facebook group.
There's no charge. I'm not selling anything. I just love to talk about Facebook ads and what's new and what's going on. Yep. And he talks about everything from SEO to citations to all of those techie things that I don't get. and in Richmond, right now I'm going to be down at the beach actually for probably the next 4 months through summer. And then I go back up to Richmond in the fall, and we have a couple of REI meetings there. I kind of surf through all of them. I like to go. I like to network. I probably know most people in Richmond.
Yeah.
Down here, I'm just starting to get into going to a couple down here in the Tidewater area. But I'm pretty easy. Hit me up on Facebook. Send me a message.
I love it. So thank you in a big way. You will find her, Laura Patterson, on Facebook, and we will link up in the show notes the link to their Facebook group because there's a lot of great stuff in there, guys. A lot of great stuff that her and Caleb run. We'll link it up in the show notes.
And I'm just getting ready to next week. I am going up to Richmond on the 26th. There is an REI there that is doing, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. They're doing a Shark Tank.
Oh, really?
I'm going to be one of the sharks. So you come and you bring your deals to me, and either we buy them or we tell you how they're terrible deals. And we have a whole board that's going to be there.
And that'd be awesome.
We're going to have people there to finance deals too. So there'll be some money lenders there too. So.
That's a great idea. Hopefully you guys get that on video or something like that. That would be a blast. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, shoot, I appreciate you coming on in a big way. Thank you again. Everyone that had a chance to listen to this, pick one thing, write it down, execute that thing this week, this month, and go find Lori on her Facebook group where you can learn what she's doing. So if you want to dig in more and ask them questions, or just literally scroll through the archives. Probably every question you have has probably already been answered in the archives, and go find the answer to it. So you guys have an amazing, amazing rest of the week. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever the heck you listen to this, give a rating and review. Now, we want to see you guys win this year. We want to see you guys win, build momentum, build consistency and predictability like Lori has with her leads, and build an amazing business with freedom. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lori. Have an awesome night.